Watch, Mike Ainsel!
Then he closed both his hands and he pretended to take the coin into his right hand, which he opened wide.
I made it disappear, Mike Ainsel!
You did?
Agreed Shadow.
After we've eaten, if it's okay with your mom, I'll show you how to do it even smoother than that.
Do it now, if you want,
said Marguerite.
We're still waiting for Samantha. I sent her out for sour cream. I don't know what's taking her so long.
And, as if that were her cue, footsteps sounded on the wooden deck and somebody shouldered open the front door. Shadow did not recognize her at first, then she said,
I didn't know if you wanted the kind with calories or the kind that tastes like wallpaper paste, so I went for the kind with calories.
And he knew her then, the girl from the road to Cairo.
That's fine. Sam, this is my neighbor, Mike Ainsel. Mike, this is Samantha Blackcrow, my sister.
I don't know you,
thought Shadow desperately.
You've never met me before. We're total strangers.
He tried to remember how he had thought.
Snow.
How easy and light that had been. This was desperate. He put out his hand and said,
Pleased to meet you.
She blinked, looked up at his face. A moment of puzzlement, then recognition entered her eyes and curved the corners of her mouth into a grin.
Hello.
I'll see how the food is doing,
said Marguerite in the taut voice of someone who burns things in kitchens if they leave them alone and unwatched even for a moment. Sam took off her puffy coat and her hat.
So you're the melancholy but mysterious neighbor. Who'da thunk it?
She kept her voice down.
And you are girl Sam. Can we talk about this later?
If you promise to tell me what's going on.
Deal.
Leon tugged at the leg of Shadow's pants.
Will you show me now?
He asked and held out his quarter.
Okay, but if I show you, you have to remember that a master magician never tells anyone how it's done.
I promise.
Shadow took the coin in his left hand, then moved Leon's right hand in, cupping it in his own hand, huge by comparison, showing him how to appear to take the coin in his right hand while actually leaving it in Shadow's left hand. Then he put the coin into Leon's left hand and made him repeat the movements on his own. After several attempts, the boy mastered the move.
Now you know half of it, because the moves are only half of it. The other half is this. Put your attention on the place where the coin ought to be. Look at the place it's meant to be. Follow it with your eyes. If you act like it's in your right hand, no one will even look at your left hand, no matter how clumsy you are.
Sam watched all this with her head tipped slightly on one side, saying nothing.
Dinner!
Called Marguerite, pushing her way in from the kitchen with a steaming bowl of spaghetti in her hands.
Leon, go wash your hands.
The food was good. Crusty garlic bread, thick red sauce, good spicy meatballs. Shadow complimented Marguerite on it.
Old family recipe. From the Corsican side of the family.
I thought you were Native American.
Dad's Cherokee. Mag's mom's father came from Corsica.
Sam was the only person in the room who was actually drinking the Cabernet.
Dad left her when Mag's was 10, and he moved across town. 6 months after that, I was born. Mom and Dad got married when the divorce came through, and I think they tried to make it work for a while, and when I was 10, he went away. I think he has a 10-year attention span.
Well, he's been out in Oklahoma for 10 years.
Said Marguerite.
Now, my mom's family were European Jewish, from one of those places that used to be communist and now are just chaos. I think she liked the idea of being married to a Cherokee. Fry bread and chopped liver.
Sam took another sip of the red wine.
Her mom's a wild woman,
said Marguerite semi-approvingly.
You know where she is now?
Asked Sam. Shadow shook his head.
She's in Australia. She met a guy on the internet who lived in Hobart. When they met in the flesh, she decided he was actually kind of icky. But she really liked Tasmania, so she's living down there with a woman's group, teaching them to batik cloth and things like that. Isn't that cool? At her age?
Shadow agreed that it was and helped himself to more meatballs. Sam told them how all the Aboriginal natives of Tasmania had been wiped out by the British, and about the human chain they made across the island to catch them, which trapped only an old man and a sick boy. She told him how the Tasmanian tigers, the thylacines, had been killed by farmers, scared for their sheep, how the politicians in the 1930s noticed that the thylacine should be protected only after the last of them was dead. She finished her second glass of wine, poured her third.
"So, Mike,"
said Sam suddenly, her cheeks reddening.
"Tell us about your family. What are the Ainsells like?"
She was smiling, and there was mischief in that smile.
"We're real dull. None of us ever got as far as Tasmania. So, you're at school in Madison. What's that like?"
"You know, I'm studying art history, women's studies, and casting my own bronzes."
"When I grow up, I'm going to do magic. Poof! Will you teach me, Mike Ainsell?"
"Sure. If your mom doesn't mind."
Marguerite shrugged.
"After we've eaten, while you're putting Leon to bed, Mags, I think I'm going to get Mike to take me to the buck stops here for an hour or so."
Marguerite did not shrug. Her head moved and eyebrow raised slightly.
"I think he's interesting,"
said Sam.
"And we have lots to talk about."
Marguerite looked at Shadow, who busied himself in dabbing an imaginary blob of red sauce from his chin with a paper napkin.
"Well, you're grown-ups,"
she said, in a tone of voice that did its best to imply that they weren't, and that even if they were, they shouldn't be. After dinner, Shadow helped Sam with the washing up. He dried. And then he did a trick for Leon, counting pennies into Leon's palm. Each time Leon opened his hand and counted them, there was one less coin than he had counted in. And as for the final penny...
"Are you squeezing it? Tightly?"
When Leon opened his hand, he found it had transformed into a dime. Leon's plaintive cries of,
"How'd you do that? Mama, how'd he do that?"
followed him out into the hall. Sam handed him his coat.
"Come on."
Her cheeks were flushed from the wine. Outside it was cold. Shadow stopped in his apartment, tossed the minutes of the Lakeside City Council into a plastic grocery bag, and brought it along. Hinzelman might be down at the buck, and he wanted to show him the mention of his grandfather. They walked down the drive side by side. He opened the garage door, and she started to laugh.
"Oh, my God,"
she said when she saw the forerunner.
"Paul Gunther's car. You bought Paul Gunther's car. Oh, my God."
Shadow opened the door for her. Then he went around and got in.
"You know the car?"
"When I came up here 2 or 3 years ago to stay with Mags, it was me that persuaded him to paint it purple."
"Oh, it's good to have someone to blame."
He drove the car out onto the street, got out and closed the garage door, got back into the car. Sam was looking at him oddly as he got in, as if the confidence had begun to leak out of her. He put on his seatbelt and she said,
"I'm scared. This was a stupid thing to do, wasn't it? Getting into a car with a psycho killer."
"I got you safe home last time."
"You killed 2 men. You're wanted by the feds. And now I find out you're living under an assumed name next door to my sister? Unless Mike Ainsell is your real name."
"No,"
said Shadow, and he sighed.
"It's not."
He hated saying it. It was as if he was letting go of something important, abandoning Mike Ainsell by denying him, as if he were taking his leave of a friend.
"Did you kill those men?"
"No."
"They came to my house and said we'd been seen together, and this guy showed me photographs of you. What was his name? Mr. Hat? No, Mr. Town. That was him. It was like the fugitive. But I said I hadn't seen you."
"Thank you."
"So, tell me what's going on. I'll keep your secrets if you keep mine."
"I don't know any of yours."
"Well, you know that it was my idea to paint this thing purple, thus forcing Paul Gunther to become such an object of scorn and derision for several counties around that he was forced to leave town entirely. We were kind of stoned."
"I doubt that bit of it's much of a secret. Everyone in Lakeside must have known it's a stoner sort of purple."
And then she said, very quiet, very fast,
"If you're going to kill me, please don't hurt me. I shouldn't have come here with you. I am so dumb. I am so fucking dumb. I should have run away or called the cops when I first saw you. I can identify you. Jesus, I am so dumb."
"I've never killed anybody. Really. Now I'm going to take you to the buck. Or, if you give the word, I'll turn this car around and take you home. I'll buy you a drink if you're actually old enough to drink, and I'll buy you a soda if you're not.